ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Press. It's March 28, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us for our Tuesday show. We're going to go over our model, talk about horse for course picks. We'll talk about how the course fits certain players, and we'll get you ready for the entire week here for the Valero Texas Open. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, I'm at Ryan Ballingy, and you can join Golf News Net for $99 a year at golfnewsnet.com. Use all of our tools, access to my model and weekly picks and all that good stuff. Just in time for the Masters as well. And if you do not want to become an annual member, you want to give it a try. Just a heads up, we do have a weekly 7-day trial. You pay for that trial, so you're not paying for the whole year up front. But then if you decide you want to continue on, you just pay the extra left on the balance, and that covers you for the full year. So if you want to do it for a week, totally fine by me. We have that option available at golfnewsnet.com. All right, so Valero Texas Open. I was on Preferred Lines last night, and we had a great time talking about the golf course, talking about our impressions of it, as well as some picks, some outright winners, guys to look at for this week. And I think the really important thing to know about TPC San Antonio is that you don't need to be a good putter to win there. And if you look at the history of the tournament, it kind of compels you to that conclusion, but the data also tells you that. So let's look at the winners. Really, in the last 10 years is probably relevant to this discussion, but let's say the last 5 years, noting that they did not have a version of this event in 2020 in the COVID year. They did not have it played whatsoever. They didn't bring it back for a summer run or anything like that. But they did use this course actually for a Korn Ferry Tour event in back-to-back weeks. So they had two events in consecutive weeks at TPC San Antonio using both courses. Taylor Pendrith, if you're interested in betting him, finished second on the other course, so he does have some positive history at TPC San Antonio, although not necessarily on the Oaks course. But let's look at the winners going back. Let's go 2013. So, working backwards, J.J. Spaun, Jordan Spieth, skip a year, Corey Connors, Monday qualifier, by the way, Andrew Landry, Kevin Chappell, Charlie Hoffman, Jimmy Walker, Steve Bowditch, Martin Laird. Those aren't exactly the same guy, but I'll be damned if they're not darn close to the same guy, other than Jordan Spieth. They are all really good ball strikers who struggle with putting, and for that week, they either had an above-average short game week for them, or they had an above-average week of putting for them, or both, and that's why they won. And that means, when you're thinking about this field, you're trying to model a guy who can win. I don't want to say that you should take length out of it, because as Joe correctly pointed out, a lot of shots, second shots, struck on this golf course, although it is 7,400 yards, are from the 50 to 125 yard range. There are a bunch of holes in this course that are just long enough that you can't drive them, and that you want to hit driver, or you could hit 3-wood, and you leave yourself somewhere in that range as a second shot, typically an uphill second shot, or to a green running away from you. But you're hitting a wedge. So being able to hit good wedge shots and hitting them frequently gives you a good chance. I think that can mean good things for being a longer player. Think about Ryan Fox. Think about Taylor Pendrith. But you don't have to. You don't have to do that. And because you can have a bunch of different holes where you can still hit driver and still have, even if you're a shorter player, have that wedge in, you kind of sit in this position. You got to score well in the par fives on this golf course to win, but look at all these guys. None of them are obscenely long. Kevin Chappell was long-ish at times. Jimmy Walker was long-ish when in 2015, but I mean, everybody hits it 295 at least now, so that, you know, what is long? 320? Well, that difference on this golf course is not that huge if you think about the distribution of holes. So think about the guys who have won here and then start thinking about how that compares to other golf courses. So looking at course fit, what I try to do with this tool, and this is available for members at golfnewsnet.com, I take a look at every golf course, every event on the PGA Tour schedule that has a regular host course. And then we look at the strokes gained among the top 25 players in the field in the last 5 years, average that out, and proportionalize it. So we want to know how players gain strokes on a golf course to finish in the top 25. And then we can compare that to the individual players in the field so that we can see how they tend to gain strokes when they finish in the top 25. So that gives us a better idea of a course fit. We're not trying to line it up against the winner or the top five, although I am starting to think about trying to come up with a different metric of strokes gained that maybe dials this in a little bit better and actually also helps us compare things to live, where I want to look at the strokes gained of a top 40 in a golf tournament and then compare players to that as opposed to the middle of the field. Because obviously with strokes gained, you're looking at a field average. You're looking at the average result. Well, I don't care about, I mean, the average helps, don't get me wrong, and it certainly helps with our model because you're comparing the same metric against everybody. But I think having a better metric against a higher bar, higher threshold helps because it will throw out all the players toward the bottom of the leaderboard in the first 2 days who stink it up. And it'll make a more streamlined comparison between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because if you look at strokes gained Thursday, Friday, where a lot of players, they make a lot of hay on those days because the bottom of the field drags down the average quite a bit. So if you take them out of the equation, you have Saturday and Sunday only, it gets harder because you have the better players, which means scoring is more refined, it's tighter, it's more difficult to gain strokes. So I want to look at that a little bit, but we'll work on that. But anyhow, if you look at the TPC San Antonio Oaks course, the breakdown is about 30 to 70%. 30 to 70 is rare, frankly, for a PGA Tour course, putting versus everything else. A lot of other golf courses are in the 35, 36% range. Those are some of the highest. You have some in the 32 range. There are very few on the PGA Tour that are this low in terms of the putting ratio. Heritage is one. Safeway is one. Oh, sorry, not Safeway. Fortinet is one. John Deere is one, and those are probably the most apt in terms of how you gain strokes. And then you think about who does well in this tournament and who has done well historically, and it starts to kind of figure itself out a little bit about why certain players do well here, and you start to see some parallels there. So worth noting that you do not have to putt particularly well in this course to win. Chipping helps, but you know, the greens are fairly sizable here. They're not huge. They're not small. And that means you're probably looking to give yourself a lot of opportunities with short irons and wedges in your hand. And if you can do that, then you have a chance to win the tournament. With all that in mind, let's look at some of the horse for course plays this week, looking at guys who have finished in the top 15 multiple times in the last 5 years of this tournament. Now, we haven't had an event in 2020, so really we're looking at the last four playings here. There may be a couple guys as we go through this that are 2018 top 15s. If you want to throw that in there, hey, that's okay. But I like that five-year window, so I'm willing to live with there only being a maximum of four, especially as you'll see on this list. There just aren't that many of them. Corey Connors has two, win, and T14 in 2021. Lucas Glover has two. Charlie Hoffman, who got into this thing really last minute, but has his finishes in this event in the last 3 years are miscut, second. So it's worth noting that, even though he's not quite the same player he once was. Siwoo Kim, couple of top 15s. Chris Kirk, guy a lot of people are going to love, going back to 2018, has multiple top 15s, worth considering. Matt Kuchar has three in the last 3 years, was runner-up last year, and then in 2021, T12, 2019, T7. So a guy playing well-ish, and obviously a guy who loves this golf course. Someone a lot of people should like this week. Ryan Moore has a couple of great finishes in this tournament. I keep banging the drum on him that he's just like a stroke around away. And I know that's a lot in PGA Tour terms, but just one less stroke he throws away here and there could mean a world of help to his standing in the golf world, his world ranking, everything. So worth looking at there. Brant Snedeker would have been one of those guys. Kevin Streelman is definitely one of those guys if you throw in 2018. has not played well the last two times out, though, in this event. And he is definitely a horse for course guy. Think about Pebble. Think about the Valspar at Innisbrook. Both those come to mind. You may be interested in Matt Wallace, who in 2021 finished third here, obviously won last week. So there are some guys that you probably should be aware of. None of them, other than maybe Kuchar, is screaming at, and maybe Siwoo. I mean, Siwoo is someone's, and Chris Kirk people are going to like as well. So maybe those three guys are the ones. Interestingly enough, there are a bunch of LIV guys who have good finishes here, and obviously they're not competing here this week. So, you know, lost something for the Texas Open. And there are a bunch of events like that, and it feels like there have been three or four so far where you look at the last 5 years, and it's just LIV guy after LIV guy after LIV guy piling up top 15 finishes in this history. And it's hurt a couple of the events on the schedule. But nevertheless, that's what we've got here in terms of kind of horse for course play. So all that said, where are we at in the odds board? For the week, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of money on this tournament because people are just going to start betting the Masters. So it's going to be, you're not going to see a whole lot of movement, in my opinion. But, the market is what it is. I'll just leave it at that. Tyrrell Hatton still 12-1. Avoid like the plague. Ricky Fowler 18-1. I think a lot of people are going to bet him if they bet. I think he could be a big liability for the books, but he may also be too short. And some people may just avoid him for that reason. Siwoo is absolutely worth a bet, in my opinion, at 22. Corey Connors struggling a little bit, but does have a good track record. Taylor Montgomery, not the best wedge player there's ever been and a great putter, but he is playing really good golf. Chris Kirk at 28. Would have liked him better at 30, but you could probably find him at 30 elsewhere. But he's going to get a lot of action. I think Matt Kuchar is going to see quite a bit of love. Ryan Fox has something to play for this week, which is special temporary membership on the PGA Tour. Something to look at, too. If you look at the guys who finished well last week in Punta Cana, Matt Wallace won. He started, I believe, 45, at least where I saw. And so he's 40 now. So there may have been a little bit of play on him. Norin's come back a little bit. I thought he started higher, or a little bit lower, rather. Now he's 40-1. Tom Dietrich, 45, which I like a lot this week. He doesn't win much, but he gets so close. So if you want to play that as an also, you know, an each-way play, a win in a top five or a top 10, because we don't really have true each-way plays here in the United States, then you can go with that. And then in the 50s, Nick Taylor, Cam Davis, I think some people will be on because he's starting to kind of come back from whatever the heck he was going through. Nikolai Højgaard also 50-1. Not as convinced of that. Aaron Rye 55-1. I definitely like this week. He's just the kind of guy that's a ball striker that I think he can win a tournament like this. He won on the European Tour in windy conditions. And not, of course, exactly like this because it was a little wispy, but very similar in terms of layout. I can really get behind him this week. Taylor Pendrith, like I said, people are going to like a lot. At least they should like him a lot. I think that makes sense to me. And then you kind of get into like Will Gordon, Sam Stevens range at 80-1. I've seen, and I said this to Joe last night on Preferred Lines, I've seen multiple books refer to him as William Gordon this week, and I don't understand why. I don't know what happened there. I'm pretty sure he still will. But 80-1 for him and for Sam Stevens is of interest, I think. Patton Kizzire and Garrick Hago we talked about last night. I kind of like Patton Kizzire. Garrick Hago, though, is playing very, very well, and he could kind of fit the Taylor Pendrith mold of long guy getting a lot of wedges, and if he just sticks enough close and makes a few, he could be very dangerous this week. I think that is absolutely a play worth looking at. David Lingmerth, guy a lot of people probably aren't going to touch, but he's been playing sneaky good golf, really under the radar, and I don't know why people are not talking about him. And then get down a little bit lower, I think Akshay is going to get some love. Austin Eckroat, who played really well in the Dominican Republic, probably should get a couple bets. It's probably worth a little bit of money. Lanto Griffin really interests me this week. Like I said, he came off of the Korn Ferry Tour last week, a little bit of a recovery start. He's trying to get back after a long injury. And 130-1 is just about long enough to make me interested. He fell off a little bit on the weekend in Savannah, but he's getting reps and playing well. And I think I can like Lanto Griffin a little bit more than Charlie Hoffman. Pearson Cootie, 150. Mark Hubbard, 150. also interest me. Mark Hubbard against weak fields. Kramer Hickok could be interesting. I liked him more in Punta Cana, given the course history. He is making cuts, though, and making money. I thought he would step up to the plate there. I'm not convinced he will here. Pearson Coutee is free and clear. I mean, he's going to get to the PGA Tour from the Korn Ferry Tour. So now he can just try to take these exemptions and try to get one that gets him special temporary membership or gets him a win. I like his chances here at 150. I talked about this yesterday. I will bang this drum again. Patrick Harrington at 180 to 1. Maybe you don't want to take him to win the golf tournament, but 12 to 1 on a top 10 could absolutely interest you and me. He is playing really good golf. I know he's playing most of his golf on the senior tour, on PGA Tour Champions, but he's played well on the regular tours, on the PGA Tour, and on the DP World Tour. He's already done well in the DP World Tour this year, so do not write him off just because he's an older guy. I think he's absolutely worth a look this week. Michael Kim against weak fields. He makes his living off of it. Not, this isn't as weak as last week, but it is pretty weak. 14 to 1 on a top 10 may be of interest to you. And that's probably where I would stop. But as Joe pointed out, if you look at the average in recent memory, you've seen some bombs win this tournament. But the reality is we've also seen a lot higher quality of player, a lot worse odds win this year. So you have to keep that in mind. You want to look at tournament props for the week and look at winning margin. We've talked about this before. Two-stroke, wow, they priced it differently. That's very interesting to me. So we didn't have this yesterday. Two strokes exactly is plus 350. In the last 4 years, this tournament has been won by two. In the last 10, it's been won by one or two every time, except once when it was four, when Jimmy Walker won. That's plus 350. I think you have to take one and two and just kind of hope, because if it holds, you're going to get a nice little chunk of change on that. So worth considering. Now, I do want to bring up the model for this week. I went over horse for course stuff. I went over all those kinds of plays. And that's great and everything, but you're here for the model. And I realized kind of went out of order this week in not going straight into the model. So let me get that to you, and we'll talk about the top 10 for the week. So top 10 for the week, Corey Connors kicks off the list. He is not significantly ahead, but substantially ahead. Well, I guess the flip those. Substantially is not right. Significantly ahead of Hideki Matsuyama. Then Tyrrell Hatton is third. Ben Griffin is fourth. Taylor Montgomery is fifth. Chris Kirk is sixth. Matt Kuchar is seventh. Eric Van Rooyen is eighth. And that's really on the back of prior years. Brendan Todd is ninth. Ryan Fox, 10th. Tom Dietrich, 11th. Alex Noren, 12th. Kevin Streelman, 13th. And Ricky Fowler is actually 16th in the model this week. Michael Kim really lights things up on the model this week. Aaron Rye, who I've talked about really liking, is 21, and that's worth a look. Sam Stevens, 27, guy I like a lot. But Siwoo, a guy I love this week, is 30th because he's just so inconsistent. But I pointed this out to Joe. He pointed out to me. We talked about this. He has been remarkably consistent in the last eight starts. Six finishes in his last eight starts inside the top 27. For Siwoo Kim, that is practically a top 10 machine, because he just doesn't do that kind of thing. He has not been throwing away as many strokes. I think he's becoming a smarter player. I think he's making better decisions out on the golf course. And his pocketbook, his checking account, is the beneficiary. He's cleaning up more money more easily. And I think that's something to consider when we talk about this model, because we think about it, or I think about golf in the long term, 1 and 2 years. Except when we do these opposite field events where you can have anybody from any time coming in and playing pretty well. Like a Matt Wallace, who was like 15th in the model last week, even though, was playing meh golf, but was playing meh golf that was better than a lot of the meh players in the field. So that's the model for the week. I don't really have a whole lot of surprises in there. Mark Hubbard's 18th. Christian Mazadenhoyt, 23rd. No one up there that really kind of surprises me as having fallen down quite a bit. I mean, we just don't have a whole lot of high-value players from a DFS perspective. maybe some guys you might be surprised that don't model out very well. J.J. Spawn does not. He's not even in the top 30. And he's obviously one of the higher priced players in the DFS market and certainly in the betting market. Matt Wallace does not rate out well against this field. I know he won last week, but we unfortunately don't have true strokes gain data from Putacana, so that will hurt his ranking. Otherwise, he'd probably be, I'm going to guess, in the 40-ish, 35-ish range after last week. So that's something worth noting. And then Cameron Davis does not rate out well again. Kind of long-term dip starting to come out of that, so worth noting that as well. Joseph Bramlett was a guy that was brought up in preferred lines, and he is 64th in the model. He is playing at $7,100, and obviously he has a betting market according to his standing in this model, or very similar to it, you know, in that 120, 130 range. But maybe worth a look for some people this week. Okay, that's where we stand on the market for the Valero Texas Open this week. And then I did want to briefly, just very briefly, get into the LIV golf event in Orlando at Orange County National. They're playing the Crooked Cat course, and they're two at the facility. It's 36. I played it recently. I played it on a family golf trip, both the courses, and I played it last year. So I have some experience on this golf course. It's pretty wide open. A lot of the holes are going to be very gettable for these guys. They have a bunch of shorter holes that they're just going to be able to light it up. They're just going to be able to do that. Now, based on all of that, looking at the odds market for the LIV event, it's just such a weird smattering because Dustin Johnson's 10-1. He's played like junk. Joaquin Neiman and Cameron Smith are 12-1 each. Neiman's played better than Smith in my view. Taylor Gooch and Mito Pereira are 14-1. Paul Casey is 16. Sergio and Charles Howell, the third, and Abe Anser are 18. I think that's maybe where you start. I would consider Carlos Ortiz at 25, continues to play pretty well so far at the start of the year. Louis Oosthuizen at 28 could be of interest, even though he has never won in the United States. Dig a little bit deeper. Danny Lee did not get any love for winning the event in Arizona. He's 40-1. Same price as Bryson, Brooks, and Andermann Lahiri. And Bryson and Brooks are just, they're just guys right now. They're not even real golfers right now. They're just guys playing golf. And I think you have to at least look down there to consider him. Sebastian Munoz has played okay. I think he's worth a look as well. And then that's probably where you stop. Just if you're curious, Jed Morgan's 500-1 yet again. Phil Mickelson is 200-1. 200-1. And he got, multiply that by a whole lot of zeros, or add a whole lot of zeros onto that, and that's what he got to go over to LIV. Isn't that stunning? That's amazing. Other than that, Eugenio Chikara is 80-1. I actually think that this course could fit his game, very similar to the one where he won in, what, Thailand, Bangkok. I would consider looking at him this week a little bit of an upset, but most of these guys, even though many of them are Orlando based, Stenson Poulter come to mind immediately, and those guys are deeper shots, but they're not playing this golf course. This is a publicly accessible golf course that is quite different in several ways than Lake Nona, where they have their homes and where they practice out of. So I wouldn't really take a whole lot out of the Orlando connection here this week. Golf course does move a little bit, but it is pretty wide open. The driving areas are very generous. There are a lot of holes that, frankly, are just straight as can be, and you just got to hit it. And for that reason, these guys are going to crush it. There's nothing that really compels them to think twice other than just bang driver as hard as you can. The rough isn't particularly deep unless they have grown it up dramatically in the last 3 weeks. Greens run pretty true. They're not the biggest greens, but they are not very difficult to read. They're pretty easy to get at. So I don't think you have to be a brilliant putter to crush this place. Hopefully that adds some insight there, but I also don't think there's a huge betting market for all of this. Tournament props may be of interest. Winning margin, one stroke exactly, is plus 175. playoff 260, two strokes, four strokes, three strokes are paying pretty well. I would take a chance on 2-4 or 3. Just a thought. I think someone's going to light it up this week and just run away with this thing. But that's me. And then briefly touch on the DIO Implant LA Open on the LPGA. This venue, Palos Verdes, was played as is its own tournament, the Palos Verdes Championship last year. Marina Alex won. Lilia Vu, who's been playing great to start the year, is 12-1. I would start with her and Jin Young Ko in that range. I would leave Danielle Kang alone, having some health issues. Leave her out of it. Maja Stark, 35-1, is very, very much worth a look to me. Pauline Rousseau, 55-1, is interesting to me. Same with Megan Kang. She was close last year at this venue. And that's probably where I would cut it off at this point. It's hard to kind of bet past that number on the LPGA right now. So some plays there. And there's not a whole lot of market otherwise. It's not like there's top 20 plays or things like that for DraftKings. They don't put up too much around the LPGA. Okay, that'll do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to subscribe to Golf News Net, head over to golfnewsnet.com and check it out. $99 a year. Yeah, there is a weekly subscription, so if you do want to be a member for 1 week, thinking about the Masters next week, I would hop in there on Sunday and do it. Make sure you have all 7 days, and then if for whatever reason you just want to do it for the 1 week, then you cancel after 7 days and we move on with life. But if you want the whole year's worth of value, now's a great time to start. Start with the best tournament of the year from a betting perspective. All right, we will talk to you tomorrow. We'll make our final plays for the week, round out our card, get everything together, and hopefully we'll have another winning week here on The Press. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on the show. Have a great day, everybody.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.